Snack Bar Games Podcast.
Welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 227. I'm Graham, and this week I'm here with Jeff, Andrew, and Sean. Hey guys, how's it going?
Going good.
Pretty good.
Yeah?
I think most of us, if not all of us, saw the Avengers this weekend, so that's awesome.
This is true. I saw the Avengers. Wait, you didn't see the Avengers?
No, I did not.
Oh,
I was the only person on the planet.
Yeah.
You might be, considering how much money it made.
Made a lot of money. but yeah, so it's been 3 weeks since our last episode. That's all my fault. Had to.
Yeah, oof. You shouldn't move so often.
I know. Yeah, once every 3 years or so. Sorry about that. But we are back online, sort of. let's get down to it, shall we?
We
have 3 weeks of news. What news?
All right. Well, Rockstar is going to be
doing news.
New news.
News. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, are you with us with the news?
Yes.
I am with you.
How much news?
A lot. 3 weeks worth.
Okay. What does that sound like in terms of saying news really long?
I think you nailed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely nailed it.
Maybe a little extra, but I think just about right.
Okay. I'll edit it in a little extra.
Okay.
Elongate.
Just extend it a little.
Yeah.
All right. What is happening?
All right, well, Max Payne 3 is getting a DLC pass just like L.A. Noire did.
Surprise!
Only its DLC pass will be $30 instead of $10.
That actually kind of does suck.
Yes.
But it's going to be all multiplayer DLC, at least I think so.
Yeah, well, with that game, it does seem like a self-contained story with a beginning, middle, and end, very much movie-like in that way, whereas L.A. Noire was very much a serial thing, and they're like, oh, let's also have this case or something. It's fine.
It does appear to all be map packs and co-op packs.
Which, multiplayer in a It could be a pain, but I don't know. They've done decent things with multiplayer, like, you know, GTA 4's multiplayer is okay, Red Dead Redemption's multiplayer is pretty good.
Although no one plays either one.
Yeah, well, no, I actually think GTA 4 is pretty popular, mostly just because you can just run around with your friends and run helicopters into the ground, you know, good stuff like that.
Sure.
But Grand Theft Auto 4 was like this tiny game, right? No one really played it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was an independent release. I don't think anybody really paid attention to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Max Payne in general hasn't really been something that seemed that needs multiplayer. But you know, every game needs multiplayer these days. So I just hope it turns out okay.
Heavy Rain should have had multiplayer.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Who can find Jason first?
Yep. That's the whole thing. Actually, it's asymmetrical. One player gets to be Jason.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is Jason trying to find Sean?
So, I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Sean.
I win.
Yep.
Max Payne 3 is all fine and everything, but unfortunately, it comes out the same day as Diablo 3, so I've made my choice.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Max Payne 3.
Diablo 3.
Nope.
I'm the guy on the podcast who will buy Max Payne 3 instead of Diablo 3, so at least there's someone who can talk about it when the time comes.
I'm the guy on the podcast who's going to buy a random box of Super Famicom games off eBay instead of Max Payne 3 or Diablo 3.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
You're going to review them?
I don't know. Summer's kind of slow. We'll see.
Just review them.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you can just get, you know, some other release like Sonic 4 Episode 2 or Battleship. You know, something else coming out that week just to balance it out.
Sure.
No one else cares about.
I wonder if there's anything coming out that week that is good.
Game of Thrones game looks okay.
Maybe. Game of Thrones game.
Game of Thrones game. I can't talk to you.
Throne of Game Max of Pain. Pain Max. Thrones.
Max Game of Thrones Pain.
Yes. Okay.
Look for Sounds a review good. Of that later this year.
Yep. All right, Sean, let's keep moving.
All right, we have standalone expansions from Saints Row the Third and Skyrim, both coming out this summer, it looks like.
Standalone expansions?
Standalone expansions.
Well, I think the Skyrim one isn't. I think the Saints Row one is.
Oh, that's right. The Skyrim one is just being revealed at this summer. The Saints Row one is coming out this fall.
Okay.
Yeah. They are both coming out for about $30-ish, and they'll be standalone. You don't have to have the main game to play them.
Really? I didn't know that was announced for the Skyrim one.
Skyrim one isn't just standard DLC.
Is it? This website is wrong.
Is it Snapbox?
It's not our website.
No, it is not ours. It's not ours.
Okay. Our website's not wrong. It's occasionally misguided, but usually fine.
When it is wrong, it's my fault, though, so.
It is. It's all your fault.
Always.
Yep.
We're just going to blame you.
The Skyrim one is Dawnguard. It will add something.
Yeah, we don't really know anything about it except
that. We don't know anything except that it's more Skyrim, so that's awesome.
We'll probably
sure it'll add trees and mountains and maybe like
I'm expecting some snow and maybe some dawn.
Possibly a dragon or two.
I want one more line of voice acting. That'd be great.
And and every character will repeat that one line so you know it's new.
Yep. All of the new characters and all the old characters will only say the one new line. But they'll record it for both males and females, so it'll be okay.
It'll be the new arrow in the knee line. It'll just have to become a meme. There's nothing they can do about it.
Yes.
The Saints Row one is interesting because that actually is a stand. It's like they're actually releasing a disc based version of that, so you don't need to own the main game.
Yes, and it will bring aliens to Saints Row.
I think with Dawnguard, it should be a prequel.
To Saints Row?
No, it should be. That'd be kind of awesome. No. I was just thinking Dawnguard should be a prequel to Skyrim where you control the adventurer and then it's the story of the arrow. How it got in the knee. You control that guy / woman.
That would be amazing.
Yep.
Although 50 different people in that game say it, so.
All of them.
Yeah. So you just control 50 characters.
Actually, as it turns out, it's a real-time strategy game now.
No, you control 50 arrows.
Yes.
You control the arrows, and then if in the multiplayer, they're going to add multiplayer arrows versus knees multiplayer mode.
Yep.
Who wins?
It's a horde.
Spoilers:
mode,
the arrow usually the wins.
You're just all usually arrows, wins. And you fight off knees as much as you can. I'd play that.
I would play that. With Kinect support.
Kinect support. You have to use real arrows and then put them in your knee.
Or you could just say, "Oh God." Or you can just say
the DLC arrow. Is just a patch, and you just buy an arrow. It's like a Skylander. It's like RFID. And it knows what arrow you're putting in your knee.
Instead of scanning it in the game, you're shoving it in your knee.
You're stabbing an arrow into your leg. Yeah.
Okay. Game
of the year. This is a pretty good game, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Definitely better than Tony Hawk Ride.
Yes, and less painful.
Yes.
That's sadly true. All right, what else is going on?
All right, we have God of War Ascension.
Yep, that's a game.
It's the origin rise. Story for God of War.
Yep.
He will, you know, rise and ascend. And it will have a multiplayer mode.
I don't think he gets to ascend. Oh, yeah, it's true.
There is some ascension happening. But
okay. Are they playing the card game Ascension? Is that what it is? It's just Kratos sitting around. It's a licensed card game adaptation for the game Ascension. Right?
I'm just gonna say maybe.
Yep. I'd play that
card
one.
Combat like Metal Gear Acid? I'll buy that.
We'll find out at E3.
No, it's a God of War game, but at the end of the game you realize you were really just playing a card game.
Yep.
What a twist. Way to ruin it.
Now we all know.
Instead of it was all a dream, it was all just a card game.
Yep. Okay.
So the multiplayer looks weird. I mean, it's just like a bunch of Kratos-like characters fighting each other, and then all of a sudden there's this giant thing they have to kill. I don't really understand it. Maybe it was explained better.
You don't have to understand it. You just have to buy it.
Okay. Well, I'm probably going to buy it because it's God of War, and I like God of War. But I don't really care about the multiplayer because, you know, it's God of War multiplayer. I don't
really understand, but I'm not the person who would, so...
But every game has to have multiplayer now, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. I think we established that. Yep. They're actually going to do multiplayer visual novels.
Oh?
Yeah, because every game has to have multiplayer, so.
Phoenix Wright multiplayer. One of you is the prosecutor, one of you is Phoenix Wright.
One of you is the judge.
I want to be the judge.
Ooh, can I be the sidekick that doesn't know anything?
Perfect.
I think you are. Check.
All right. As long as I don't have to wear those costumes.
Oh, I mean, I figured you already were, but I
don't think they'd look very good on me.
It's okay. Nah, we kid. All right. God of War is a thing. What else is a thing?
Halo 4 is a thing, and it's coming out in November. And wait for it, they're going to add multiplayer.
Into Halo.
Yes.
I don't believe you.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Halo should not have multiplayer. I mean, God of War, you let it slide. It's like, yeah, whatever. Halo? Multiplayer? Come on.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to play that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get any users online.
Yeah. All right.
A bunch of really
obvious things that were made official over the last few weeks.
Well, okay, the fact that Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, is a thing that exists is not shocking. The fact that it's actually going to be different, at least in some ways, and they're adding new things.
Yes, they're adding aliens.
Yeah, exactly. They're bringing
alien zombies.
Yeah, they're bringing them to Saints Row.
I mean, alien Nazi zombies.
Yep, okay, that's dumb.
Yep.
I will continue to not play that game because I'm not any good at it. So, great.
I'm excited about the branching paths. I'm excited about the new mission structures they're adding. I don't care about that series for multiplayer anymore, which is why most people care about that series. So,
but it does have multiplayer.
Every game from now on we're going to be talking about has multiplayer. Just to let you know. Just to let everyone know.
Yeah, all the games.
Everyone.
Yep.
But yeah, so I mean, Black Ops 2. I originally told myself when it was rumored that it's going to be Black Ops, like, yeah, Black Ops 1 was okay. I don't really want to buy this. This is going to be the first year I don't buy a Call of Duty game. And then all the information comes out, and I have it pre-ordered now. So, good job, Activision.
I mean, I just think it's not enough of a step to go from Black Ops to Black Ops 2. If they really want to surprise people, you know, they need to go to Black Ops 4. let's just go. Let's cut to it. You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
They should plan out what was going to be in 2 and 3 and then not make those games and make the fourth one. That changes all of that.
Didn't we talk about this with Final Fantasy already with our game idea a couple episodes ago? Final Fantasy 20.
I just remember I had something about no Moogles in it.
Okay.
Yeah. I need Moogles in Call of Duty, I think.
So you can throw them at the enemy?
Yep.
Okay.
As long as I don't have to aim with them, I can just kind of throw them. They're kind of just, they attack themselves, you know.
Self-guided.
What if they exploded?
Then it's Prinnies. Then you're putting Prinnies in Call of Duty.
Okay, so we have two, so we have the Moogles and then we have the Prinnies. All right, so.
The Prinnies is going to be in Medal of Honor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Moogles versus Prinnies.
Versus arrows.
Do Moogles and Prinnies have knees?
Nope, which is why it's totally interesting. Okay. Arrows have a clear advantage over knees.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting dynamic. It's almost like Protoss, Zerg, Terran when you do arrows, Moogles, Prennies, you know? it's a good balance.
This podcast had a structure once.
It did. I mean,
it does.
Last
we
July.
We go from one thing maybe to another thing.
Yeah.
But honestly, I am excited about Black Ops 2, which is I didn't expect to say, but here we are again, another Call of Duty game. They're sucking me into it.
Yep.
Next year, no way.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Until they announce it.
Modern Warfare 5.
I don't think the next one's going to be Modern Warfare, which is why I'm curious.
After this one, you will not buy another Call of Duty game for at least 11 months.
You're completely right.
It's guaranteed. You need a break.
I'm putting money down on that.
Or you're not putting money down on that.
Well, I'm putting money down on the... Okay, yeah.
Or not putting money down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more news, Sean, or shall we move on? Anything actually news?
two more bits of news. One, okay. Elder Scrolls Online is coming out.
We'll
also have multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. There we go. How Elder Scrolls has multiplayer. Oh, man.
Yep.
It will be a prequel. It'll be set 1,000 years before Skyrim.
Okay.
And it'll cover Molag Maul trying to destroy the world, not take it over.
So
it's over is cliche.
Elder Scrolls, The Old Republic.
Yep, sure.
So, okay.
Except giant demons instead of, you know, Sith.
Jeff,
and there aren't dragons in this, somehow.
There are dragons.
There are.
They said that looked like there was.
I don't understand.
Well, the dragons did disappear a while ago, so maybe this is when they disappear.
Okay.
Jeff, as the resident MMO person, how do you feel about this?
I feel pretty good about it. I like that they said they're going to put the whole all of Tamriel in instead of like just one region.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to hang out in Elsewhere.
I'm excited. I'm not going to say excited because I'm probably not even going to play this, but I'm interested to see how it turns out, because, you know, this is something that probably is... Well, it's been in the works for, what, 5 years, I think they said?
Yeah, 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually turns out. I think it has the popularity to kind of become as big as the Old Republic, and I don't know, probably not WoW big, but...
Yeah, I can't see it beating WoW. I can't see it being this thing that transcends the genre, you know, in such a way that it becomes a phenomenon like WoW did. But
yeah.
I think the fan base is totally there. I know a lot of people who aren't really gamers, but they do buy Elder Scrolls games. There's definitely that group of people that's like, oh, I buy one game every 5 years, and then I just play it, and it's that game. So there are definitely people to whom that would appeal. But I mean, I can't see it being WoW, but I can see it being in existence for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's got enough like story behind it that you can make a good MMO out of it.
Yep. All right. Sean, last item and let's move on.
Last item is a couple of Vanillaware news. One is that, Grand Knight's History has been canceled for localization
and that
Dragon's Crown has been pushed back to 2013.
Moment of silence until 2013.
Grand Knight's History, huh?
Podcast.
I'm not actually that surprised because it was a PSP game.
Yeah, I mean, I started worrying about it when Xseed announced that Grand Knight's History got pushed back because Vanillaware didn't have time to do it before they finished Dragon's Crown. But, I mean... I heard so many good things about that game and how it was more interesting than your standard JRPG. It was really more of a multiplayer Pokemon-like thing, which was really appealing.
Well, learn more Japanese is important.
I'm seven semesters in Japanese, and I can't. Like, I'm at about like a six-year-old level, I think, maybe, if I'm lucky. I can play Yoshi's Island really well in Japanese.
I'm 2 days in, and I don't understand it yet.
Okay. You could also play Yoshi's Island in Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
how will I know whether to push start or not?
You played games before ever.
I've looked at Japanese text before.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I want to play Dragon's Crown. I want to play it, you know, maybe not. I don't know if I want to play it next year. It's one of those things. The delays that big kind of hurt. But, you know, I probably will play it at that point.
What do you, of course you're going to play it. It has co-op.
This is true.
Yeah. But I was interested in it. I wasn't a must buy for me because it was really supposed to come out this sometime within the next, this month or next month, supposedly.
Yep.
Spring. So.
And it was, you know, it was going to be a PS3/Vita release. That was the thing. It was like, it would be a really cool Vita game, but I don't know. I'd probably get it on PS3 anyway. But.
Me too. Even though my Vita has been sitting there sad.
Yeah.
Hey guys. Remember the Vita?
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
What?
Yeah. What is it? What is this, Vita?
The life?
Well,
the life?
Hopefully we all remember it when Gravity Rush comes out, because I know I'm getting that.
No, you gotta explain this Vita thing to me. What is it?
It's a PS3 you put in your pocket, except it doesn't fit in your pocket.
So it's like a PS3?
Yep. It's a PS3 that has no games.
You can touch the back of it.
Yeah.
Okay. You can touch the back of a PS3, too. it has about as much useful functionality.
This is true.
Yep. All right. we'll get good stuff for the Vita at some point. One last Gravity news Rush. Item that... Gravity Rush is coming, and Persona 4 was officially
Persona
announced
4.
In the U.S. for this fall.
We all said the same thing about the 3DS right when it launched.
I didn't say that. I said Ghost Recon Shadow Wars 17,000 times.
Yes, so did I. But that was one game.
Right, that's one more game.
It basically didn't have anything else until Ocarina of Time and Mario, so. See what the Vita's like in a year.
Sure. Well, in a year we should have Dragon's Crown. Hopefully.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Yep.
But if not, we will have Persona 4. Well, either way, we'll have Persona 4.
Persona 4 is the Vita's Ocarina of Time.
It's the Vita's Devil Survivor Overclocked, I believe. And then it's that.
I think this port. I think they're putting more work.
Port released in the early, probably fall of the launch year.
I think it's safe to say they're putting more work. Series. I think it's safe to say they're putting more work into Persona 4 for the Vita than they did for Devil Survivor for the 3DS.
It's pretty good though, guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on, and we'll start with Andrew. What have you been playing?
I have been playing. Let's see. Oh yeah, The Walking Dead. I played that.
Yep.
So here's my history with Telltale in like 5 seconds. I was getting really bored of their games. I didn't even like the first episode of the Back to the Future game, and it made me really sick.
That was 5 seconds.
Yep, that's it. So when they started talking more about The Walking Dead, I was like, what happened with Jurassic Park? I know Justin liked Jurassic Park.
Really sound like they were going down the Jurassic Park path.
Yeah, most people didn't like Jurassic Park, and I never played it myself, but it kind of looked . So that's what I was like. Walking Dead's probably going to turn out like that, right? I'm not going to pay attention to it. And then I keep hearing more about it, and then I actually see gameplay footage, and then I actually play it. Alright, so this is the Telltale game I've been wanting for a while, because for so long, probably since the last Sam and Max season, they haven't done, like, Back to the Future was cool in the fact that it was Back to the Future, but in terms of a game, it wasn't super compelling.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
And, you know, Jurassic Park didn't do too well for them, and they had that Hector Badge of Courage game that no Americans really cared about because, you know, I don't...
Justin liked it.
Well, yeah, yes. But...
It was a really cool game, but it was never meant to be a large market game, and they didn't develop it themselves, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, but basically what I'm saying is the past year for Telltale, I mean, it's like, Back to the Future did well financially... Besides that, they haven't done anything super compelling in a while.
Well, it wasn't a great creative year for them, and it was really... I think kind of the year they decided they were going to be a big deal, you know? with the Universal deal with these franchises, you know, it was like, all right, we're going to stop being this thing that some people on PC know about and start being, like, this, you know, PopCap level success, basically.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Sam and Max games. I like what they did with Monkey Island. I like what they did with Wallace and Gromit, but I'm glad
that Strongbad games are pretty good.
Yeah. You know, I like that they were doing that stuff with smaller franchises that appeal to a specific audiences. But
they can't do four series a year like that.
Yeah, exactly. So this is I think this more so than Back to the Future and Jurassic Park is definitely their first real successful attempt at branching out to a wider audience, because while this still is kind of rooted in adventure games, it's definitely something that a lot of people who don't like adventure games can enjoy because of how easy it is to control, how compelling the story is, and it applies a lot of ideas from Jurassic Park that didn't work, or at least seemingly didn't work, and makes them work here. And I think it's Telltale's best work so far, because really strong start. The choices you have to make in this game are just amazing. It's funny that I wrote about gray moral choices a couple weeks ago, and then all of a sudden this game comes out and it's just like, here's a game full of them. I'm like, oh, okay, good timing. It's like they knew. So,
and we'll talk about that a little later.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that a little later, more specifically. But there's just a ton of fantastic choices. It's hard to say, again, this is only the first episode, so it's hard to say how much of the story is going to change. Like, at the end of the episode, you get a screen of the five major choices you made in the game, and then it tells you, like, oh, this is how many people sided with you on PSN, or on Xbox Live, or on whatever server, or whatever you're using on PC, Steam, I'm assuming. And those, I'm assuming those are the five big choices that are going to carry over to the second game. But there are a lot of little things too, like when you interact with characters in a certain way, or tell them certain things, they will react in a way. And then if you have this on, there's a thing that, like, story notifications, I think it's what it's called. There's these little things that pop up in the top left corner that say, like, you talk to this character in a certain way, and it says, Glenn will remember your loyalty, or something like that. And it's hard to say how much that is actually going to play into future episodes, because it seemed like a neat little thing, and probably something I wouldn't have really caught on to if I didn't have the story notifications on, which
I'm sure
I like.
At some point, you just get to ask him, hey, Glenn, do you remember my loyalty? And he's like, yeah, I totally do remember your loyalty. And
that's episode four, it'll come up again. Little things like that, I mean, they seem to contribute to the episode, but I'm not sure how self-contained it's going to be, and it's not like Mass Effect's, where that thing had such a huge budget. This is a very tiny downloadable game. So I'm assuming a lot of those things won't really carry over that much. Maybe one dialogue thing will be different, slightly different than another. But it's mostly going to be the major decisions, which I'm okay with, because, again, budget constraints and whatnot. But they handle the decisions really well. The tension, the atmosphere is perfect in this. Anything could happen at any moment. Any character you know can die at any moment. And the way they handle it is just so well done. The writing is perfect. The main character, how they flesh him out throughout the game. Like, you start out in the back of this cop car. The cop car crashes, and then that's where you first run into your first zombie. And then from there, you kind of start meeting these other characters. And then as you're meeting them and they're asking you questions, you as the player are learning about that character along the way. And based on your answers, you're divulging certain information or keeping it to yourself, things like that. And
right.
It's just a really strong start. And the one thing I'm worried about with this series is Telltale is very good at starting strong. The first episode out there, they want that to be as good as possible, so then people, you know, stick with it, because they got the season pass thing going, so you just pay like $20, you get all five episodes.
Right, totally. And a lot of the problem, I think, not just stems from the story, but stems from the fact that their business model requires that they reuse a lot of the same stuff in later episodes. So all that fun of, like, exploring that new area, well, I'm in that same area next time. Like, oh,
yeah,
great.
I mean,
still here.
They introduced a lot of cool stuff in this episode, and it would be surprising to me if they didn't reuse a lot of that stuff later on. Like, there's a couple of key locations that you kind of just wander away from, and you don't there's no real reason you need, like, there's no specific reason why you need to leave that, just besides moving on. So it wouldn't surprise me if you end up going back there, or at least seeing it, I don't know, somehow in future episodes. But so I'm just hoping that they find a way to do that in a creative way and not just, yeah, we have these assets and we're just going to use them again.
Yeah.
Hi, you're back.
And also, didn't they bring on Gary Whitta for the last few episodes?
He's a story consultant for the entire series, and he's actually I think he's writing the fourth episode, if okay. I remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah, so, I just know that he was brought in a little later in the process to the point where I don't think he had a lot of involvement with the first episode or two.
Well, actually, I think they either just finished up or are finishing up writing the second episode.
Oh, okay.
So it's a relatively quick turnaround because I think the most of the work went into the first episode and all the assets and stuff. And from now on, it's just like, okay, now we just have to write the rest of it. Obviously, they have some of it written because there's a here's what's next on The Walking Dead type thing at the end of the first episode. So they have some key things written that, and a lot of them had to deal with your decisions.
Yeah.
But besides that, it's, you know, a lot of the little things probably still need to be written or are just about being finished now. So
sure.
But yeah. Very promising.
But I'd imagine he'll have more impact later.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Very, very strong start. I hope that the other four episodes continue. So we'll see. Hopefully the next one, if it comes out on time, will be the end of this month. So.
Cool. So Jeff, what have you been playing?
A little bit of Terra.
Okay. So since I'm sure we don't know anything about it, what is it?
I know what it is. It's an MMO. That's about
sure. I also know it's an MMO, which is why I know I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah.
But what makes Terra special in the world of MMOs? What makes it interesting?
Basically, combat system. It's more real-time action game compared to a typical World of Warcraft sort of style.
So it's like Age of Conan?
Kind of.
Okay. That's not good.
Well, Age of Conan had a good combat system and just not a very good everything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Age of Conan sort of ran out of content at a couple hours in.
So Terra is more for people who like PvP, or is it more for people... I mean, what... Like, if you're out there, you're an MMO person, what would draw you to it?
From what I've played, it's sort of the same sort of style as World of Warcraft as far as setting and playstyle. Like, I'm pretty sure, I haven't gotten that far in, so I can't really say much about the later or the end game. But
yeah, that's kind of the thing about MMOs. Maybe we can check in with you in a few weeks, and you can give us a better sense of what it is. Those games take a long time to do, and we want to get more MMO coverage on the site, and Jeff's going to help us work on that, but don't expect us to have anything up on launch day or anything. It's,
the trouble with MMOs
longer rumination.
It changed a lot, so you almost have to play for a month or two before you really see what the game's about.
Yeah.
That's the thing with MMOs, like you said, because of the way they work. I don't want reviews of MMOs on day one because, I mean, I get that some places want to review that game day one so people know when they buy that game day one, this is what they're getting. But at the same time, MMOs change so frequently. I think it's more beneficial to people to see an MMO at launch is probably not going to be super great. It's probably going to be some bugs that need to be worked out. So I want to follow this game. So what they would do is they would have someone, like for us, maybe we can have someone like with Jeff, we can have him check back in on the game. Like, this is how it's improved since I last played it, you know, things like that. I think that's more beneficial to people with MMOs.
I think really the sweet spot maybe somewhere around, you know, whatever that period is that people's, like, when they buy it, whatever length they get with that purchase, whether it's 60 days or what have you, or 30, when those start expiring, at that point, that is kind of the sweet spot where, like, all right, well, they've worked out the kinks, and now you kind of see, you know, who's going to stick around and who's not going to stick around, so whether the community is going to be there for it or what have you.
Yeah, there's a lot of bugs in any MMO release day one.
I remember WoW, I think, had a few years there where it was pretty rocky.
WoW actually wasn't that bad compared to, like, Star Wars Galaxies.
Compared to Final Fantasy XIV.
oh, man.
Yep, okay. Oh, that product.
A launch so bad, they're going to relaunch it and resell it as almost as a new product.
Final Fantasy XIV, that game's not done yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Final Fantasy XIV 2.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Now with, they are calling it 2.0.
Yeah, 2.0, so.
Yep.
Now with, I hope they add Moogle throwing.
They really need that, you know.
Yeah, don't all MMOs, seriously.
Not all of them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think Terra is okay without it, right? Doesn't need Moogles.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
All right. Stand corrected then.
Sean, you been playing anything interesting?
I've been playing things interesting, but not current.
All right.
I can just say that Saints Row the Third is amazing and insane.
Yep. Okay.
It's indeed. Yep. I can second this.
Okay. Great. But yeah, we won't bother you with talking about that since. Pretty much at this point, that's already out. You probably heard about that game.
Everyone yes. who's wanted to play that game probably has, or at least is planning on playing it soon. So
yeah, I may pick it up when it's cheap. I may pick it up when I can get a ridiculously cheap pair of headphones out of it.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So Graham, what have you been playing?
Ah, funny that you asked that because I have. In between moving and doing crazy things, I've been playing Awesome Knots, finally. That game that
almost didn't come out, but then did.
Yes. In case you guys didn't know about that, it's the publisher filed for insolvency the weekend before it came out, and the developer kind of just sent over a message like, guys, you know, maybe you guys may need to hold off on the coverage on this because we may not actually release.
That was a day and a half
before it came out. I was like,
there couldn't be worse timing, really.
Yeah, but they managed to work it out. I think a lot of credit probably needs to go to Sony on that because they had already announced it as the free PlayStation Plus game.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot behind the scenes they probably did, and then once it had secured, you know, PSN launch, that it was pretty much a go for the XBLA 2 or what have you. But yeah, so Awesome Knots is a game, as it turns out. It's a MOBA.
MOBA.
MOBA. That's fun to say. I like saying MOBA.
Yeah. It seems like, from what I've seen, I don't know much about it, but it seems like a... This is my limited experiences with MOBAs or MOBA-like games. It seems like Monday. It seems like Monday Night Combat, but 2D.
Sure.
Because Monday Night Combat is the only game like that I've actually really played.
Super Monday Night Combat.
Super Monday Night Combat is like that too. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the free-to-play.
Of a MOBA.
Yeah,
Super
probably
more of a MOBA than the original is, I believe. But, I mean, obviously the biggest MOBA is, right now, I think, League of Legends.
Oh.
And then there are, like, 14 different Dotas going on right now.
Those names.
But, yeah, so Awesome Knots is a lot more accessible. If you're familiar with Ronimo's work in the past, Swords and Soldiers was kind of their take on an RTS. It's similar to that in style. The whole thing's designed as a fake 80s cartoon show, which is pretty great.
The best kind of cartoon shows.
Much better than real 80s cartoon shows.
Yes.
but, yeah. So, basically, in case you're not familiar with the idea, you have two teams that basically try to attack, you know, turrets and get to the enemy base and destroy it, basically. And so that's still the case in this game. You play two teams of three. And, you know, they have some silly characters like Sheriff Lone Star, which is a space sheriff with a holographic bull and dynamite.
Yeah.
You have a monkey with a jetpack.
Damn right you do.
Yep. You know, that's one thing that Call of Duty really needs, I think, is a monkey with a jetpack. But Awesome Knots beat him to it. You have a brain in a jar with droids that it spawns. Pretty cool. You have Froggy G, which is like a hip hop frog. All of these characters have their own ludicrous theme songs, which is pretty great. You should definitely, if you're curious about the game, you should check out the theme song, which is the announcement of this, of the game a couple years back, I guess, was them just releasing this theme song.
I think I remember that, actually.
There wasn't a press release or screenshots or anything. It's just, awesome-ness! Anyway, it's pretty ridiculous.
I want to hear Froggy G's theme song. I should go look that up.
Yes, you should. You should right now go do that. But,
okay. Be right back, guys.
Okay. But, yeah, so the whole thing is a very condensed kind of MOBA experience. Those games can go on for a while. Like, I know League of Legends games can take, you know, hours sometimes. A typical game of Awesome Knots is maybe 15 to 30 minutes. I've had one go longer than 30 minutes, but it was one time.
Depends on how bad you are.
not exactly. I mean, if you're good, it goes longer. I think.
What if you're both bad?
If you're both bad, I mean, that actually would shorten the game, because what happens is it tends to ramp up the more you die. In a lot of these games, and this included, every time you die, it takes longer to respawn. Mm. And every time you die, it gives the other team, in this game, it's solar. It's your currency to, like, upgrade your character, which you do completely within the battle. It's not, like, you know, permanent upgrades or anything. You just buy them, which is really kind of cool, because each character has four moves, but you start out being able to jump and do your base attack. And you can upgrade your base attack, or you can spend to unlock one of the other attacks and spend to make it, you know, you can change your loadouts, you can make it more powerful, you can make it fire better, you can steal life sometimes, and there are a lot of special effects and things like that. But the whole thing is just really accessible. And fun, it has three-player local. You can get friends online or local to join your team and go up against enemies.
We hear love local multiplayer.
Yes, absolutely. But it's a lot of fun. If you have PlayStation Plus, you have it for free, so you should probably check it out. It's just kind of a cool thing. It may not be the deepest single player experience, and that you shouldn't really play it single player. There's a like 2-minute tutorial. You should probably play that, because otherwise it doesn't get you to the title screen. So it's probably a good idea.
It seems like the perfect place, free game for NPS PlayStation Plus, because, you know, a month is a good time to play that game for a while and then get your fill of it and then be done with it, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some people will enjoy it enough to want to, like, keep playing it.
And again, with PlayStation Plus, as long as you keep your subscription, you have that game.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Well, never mind then. But still,
it is really cool. It gives you, you know, it lets people try it out. And I think there are certain people who have played a long time, but it's just one of those things, you just get together with friends and you play that game. Even if you lose, it's fun. The fun is coming up with strategies, whether you're going to be, like, you know, obviously the character is just kind of like a tank and a healer and that kind of... The way they design those games is there's a different number of lanes, they call them, than players. So, you have 3-on-3, but you have two paths that you go down to destroy turrets. So it's this balancing act between whether you want to defend here or make a run there or what have you. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I think people should give it a try. It may not be your thing for the long term, but you know, it's worth checking out.
How much is it on, like, outside of being free on PS Plus?
I believe it's $10.
Okay. That seems like the perfect price for it.
Yeah, I believe it's that on both XBLA and PSN.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, so we can move on to our topic. And, Andrew, you have written about it, so I will let you start us off.
Okay. Well, basically, last month for New Game Plus, I wrote about gray moral choices, because, you know, after playing Mass Effect and thinking about, you know, moral choices in games a lot lately, I just realized that the good bad choices are kind of boring. I mean, I think they work for Mass Effect because for Mass Effect, you're kind of shaping that character throughout three different games, and, you know, if they kind of mixed it up on you in the third game randomly out of the blue or out of the red, That was a bad joke.
What about then, the middle? Add the middle.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna move on from that joke. I'm just gonna move on. Bury the joke. Then people would probably be pretty upset because by that point you kind of have solidified my character is Paragon or my character is Renegade. So I guess I kind of let Mass Effect slide on that, but at the same time, that just the fact that it's, you know, it's either pure evil or really good is just kind of always bugged me. Like I constantly go back to the example of the nuns. You can either save the nuns and be a hero or just start the building on fire. And like the nuns being held hostage, just start the building on fire and kill both the hostage holders and the hostages, type of thing. It gets old after a while. So funny that recently I should play not one but two different games that really focus on great choices. One of which I just talked about, which is The Walking Dead. The other, yep, which is the console port of The Witcher 2, has a ton of amazing moral choices. And
which is interesting because that's based on a novel. That's, yeah, not like a choose your own adventure book.
It
seems
is
like
not.
There's a canon choice there.
You know, there probably is. I mean, I think a lot of it is based on the novel. I think some of it is obviously just kind of inspired by things in the novel. I haven't read them, so I don't know how they connect. And this is my first experience with the series at all, so kind of diving into that game was kind of crazy. But that's besides the point. I think it's really interesting that that games have kind of come along and started to, well, maybe they've been doing this for a little while, but it kind of started to adapt more gray moral choices instead of just being like the BioShock example of I could save this little girl, or I could just kill her, type of thing. And I love that. So I was mostly curious to talk to you guys about what are your favorite implications of moral choices in games, whether it be the standard good or bad. Or whether it be like something like The Witcher or Walking Dead, where they kind of stray the line between the two. It's kind of like you don't know if you're actually making the right choice. You're just making the choice you want to make. So I'll start with you, Graham. Any particular examples and any ways you want to see these go ahead in the future if we're going to continue to see games with moral choices?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the problem with moral choices, at least as they are now, is it largely followed Mass Effect, and it's,
yeah,
here is the spot on the wheel for the Paragon choice, and here is the spot on the wheel for the Renegade choice.
Yeah, and I think that kind of stems back from, if you go back all the way to Knights of the Old Republic, it's kind of been a BioWare thing.
Right. And so, like, the dialogue wheel itself, I think, is a poor implementation of it.
Yeah.
But I like when games make you make hard choices due to action. You know, there were a lot of flaws to Heavy Rain. There were.
Yes.
But there were some interesting things you did in that game. And there were choices you made in that game. Where you didn't know what was going to happen. Which,
yeah,
as it happens, is how life works.
It is.
Which,
I've learned
like,
this.
It's like a nerve-wracking experience when I make choices like that in games. But it affects me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I want to be affected by a game when they try to make those choices, you know, and
yeah.
I think that's really interesting.
You want to have those moments where you put the controller down and you just sit back and think if you,
yeah,
have time to. I think with The Walking Dead, it does perfect examples of where they time it, so you have to make the choice. And
I hate timing anything in games.
You're gonna love The Walking Dead because almost every choice is timed, and not only that, there are
also
moments,
zombies. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
There are
like
key
time
moments.
Choices and zombies, so yep.
There are key moments where zombies will come out of nowhere and you have to choose between saving one character or another. And you have to do it within like 30 seconds. And those are some of the major choices in the game, so yeah. Luckily that game is short enough where if you think you made the wrong choice, you can just go back and replay it. But then there's stuff like The Witcher where, well, those choices aren't timed, but There are entire areas of that game or entire sections of the story that you won't see just based on choices that you might not even realize you're making, like moral choices or choices that impact the story. But it's I like that. I like when either it's obvious and it's kind of like tense, or it's not obvious and it's well hidden and what and buried deep within the story, but it's done in such a way that it doesn't feel like I'm missing out. I'm just kind of progressing the story on my own pace.
And you know what? One game that really did do choice well, and we already mentioned it actually. Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor. And actually, I played the overclocked version in the 3DS. Mm-hmm. But that one, there basically, you know, there are 7 days in the game until everyone dies, basically, and you have to make these decisions, and it's not really decide, you know, it never, like, brings up this prompt for you. It's like, you know, go find her or don't go find her, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's never things like that, but things happen, and then, like, every hour or every 30 minutes, you have to just, like, choose what you're going to do, and sometimes, like, all right, I could go over here, and I could try to save these people, or I could go talk to this guy. And try to save these people might actually backfire on you. And go talk to this guy might actually, like, it's not a battle. I mean, sure, you want to, like, gain experience, get stronger. Maybe, like, oh, I'm clearly saving lives over here. But if you don't talk to this guy, you know, at the end of the next day, then you can't save one of your party members or something. Uh-huh. Which I think's really interesting about, I mean, just because it's how life goes. You know, it's not like, all right, here's the choice you're going to make. It's not, you know, it's decisions, yeah, you know, more so than, like, all right, here are your slate of options, you know.
It's you're making the decisions as if you're living the life of this character.
Right.
Not just you're making the decisions because you want to shape the character this specific way.
Right.
You know, and again, I think that worked for Mass Effect. I think it worked for something like Knights of the Old Republic because it was kind of based on that light side, dark side thing.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I mean,
and the Mass Effect series did have it plenty of put the controller down, pace around the room for a little bit, and figure out what you want to do. But at the same time, I think Mass Effect does have a few good gray choices because there are some renegade choices I don't consider inherently evil, and there are some paragon choices I don't consider inherently good.
Right,
but you never know about it. I think it's kind of clever that way too. But you know, it's interesting to see how developers approach this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sean, Jeff, any particular examples you can think of that stand out to you guys?
My favorites. I haven't played too many games that did choices very well. Mm-hmm. Like my first real exposure to it was Fable 2.
I never played much Fable 2. I couldn't get into it, but it seemed like those games.
That was extremely good or evil.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's those seem like the kind of the prototypical examples.
Yes, very much so.
I mean, Fable 2 was better than Fable 3 in that regard. Fable 3 was the worst thing ever about that. But yeah.
But my favorites were the trigger options in Mass Effect 2 and 3, where you would be told, hey, there's a renegade or a paragon option if you hit the trigger right now, but you don't know what it's going to do.
Oh, yeah. Not knowing exactly how, like, with Mass Effect in general, you kind of get a sense of the outcome of what, you know, what Shepard's going to say when you say something. But I think, you know, with something like that, it's more like on the fly again. So it's like you either do this or you don't right now. There's no sitting around waiting, kind of trying to figure it out. And again, you don't know exactly what it's going to do, and I love that.
Yeah.
Like when you push the guy out the like, I don't know, again, if you played Renegade, I pushed the guy out the window in Mass Effect 2 when I did, like, that was one of the first major Renegade prompts in that game, and it was amazing because you didn't expect it. I thought he was just going to, like, hit him on the head. No, he just tossed him out that window. I was like, oh, yeah. Awesome.
There were a couple. I mean, like, I played the Mass Effect games highly, highly Paragon, but. Mm-hmm. I always allowed myself, like, one or two Renegade pulls. And in Mass Effect 2, I think one of those moments was Garrus's loyalty mission.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should go play it. I don't want to, like, totally spoil it. But, like, basically, there's this old, like, partner guy who betrayed him, who he's meeting. And, like, you know, you pull it and you kill the guy. Or you don't kill the guy. And it's like, I'm good, but, like, Garrus is my friend, and he has asked me to do this, and this is all he has asked me to do, and he is following me, or, like, into war, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how is this not the good call? It's not the lawful call.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, sometimes the renegade choices are not entirely bad, because even if you're kind of performing a bad action, like killing someone, you're doing it for a good cause. So I guess it kind of for games kind of it's based around the characters that kind of provide you, like the characters you get to meet and interact with, and the kind of the story around it. If it's characters you don't care about, then the choice to not kill that guy will be easier to make, because Garrus won't mean anything to you, but he does because of the way he was written, you know.
Right.
So I think that's a huge factor.
Absolutely.
And I think another example I want to bring up, not a particularly great game, but a perfect example of how to do choices in games really well, and it's Alpha Protocol. That game has some really great uses of choice, because again, that's also timed, but
yeah.
You don't know exactly what you're going to say. Your responses are kind of based on based on emotions. Like it won't say this is what I'm going to say, or this is about what I'm going to say. It's like, this option is to flat out lie to the person. This option is to try to persuade them. But what you actually say isn't apparent, and that makes it more interesting, because you have to go less on like, I want my character to be good or bad. Or it's more on the situation at hand.
Yeah.
So some situations.
Conversation options.
What's that?
You talk about the conversation options.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that part. That was much better than the choices at the end of each mission.
Yeah, it was like specific situations where you're talking to a character, and saying something a certain way might appeal to them more in that moment. It's not based on I just want my character to be good or bad, you know.
And I'm just waiting for a conversation wheel to be just completely comprised of little smiley faces, like the pain scale at the doctor's office, you know, just to have like, you're great. How mad are you at this moment? I am 8 mad. That's pretty mad.
but I think that way, like I said, it work. I like the moment to moment choices a little more than. I mean, those choices still impact the story in the long run. At least some of them did.
Yeah. But
they're based on my character is good, so he would make this choice, or my character is bad, he would make this choice. It's more on, in this situation, what would I do?
Right.
And again, there's a place for both, but I think we don't see enough of the latter, where it's based on the specific situation and not on the character you're building.
Right.
And that's kind of where you get more great choices.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing where, you know, we were talking about The Walking Dead, and yeah. I think there's a lot of pressure in games that aren't adventure games to have, you know, your choices affect your character progression, you know, whereas adventure games, it's pure story. You don't need to worry about, like, you know, whether your character has this or that stat. So with that, just tell your story, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're seeing that a lot. Like, we're just talking about Black Ops 2. That's going to have choices. And again, I haven't seen the game, so I don't know how these choices are going to impact anything. But there are little things from what I heard where, like, in the middle of a mission, it can be as simple as you want to go do this over here or go do that over there, and you could either walk to one end of the map, one part of the map or the other. Or there are actual story decisions that could get characters killed, which, you know, for Call of Duty is completely new, and I just hope they handle it well, because, again, yeah. whenever a series like that kind of approaches choices, it's always the blatant good or evil choice.
Yeah.
So I think... Since Call of Duty is such a linear story, I'm sure they'll have diverging paths. I'm hoping that it's more based in morality, or not like based in more less obvious moral choices. Like, this is simply going to affect the way this next mission plays, and or how if this one character is with you or not. Not, oh man, this character is either going to live and I can help save him, or he's going to die because I had to try to do something that ended up killing him.
Yeah.
I think in a
first person shooter like that, I really think there would be an interesting morality play between like loyalty to your squad and loyalty to your superiors kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
That seems like a good spectrum. I mean, like, I realize games like that are going to need to have a very specific spectrum, you know. Mm-hmm. I really think that could be not good versus evil, but like, you know, following orders versus, you know, what my squad mates want to do kind of thing.
I think I haven't played this game, but from what I heard, Binary Domain does that fairly well, where you have the squad commands and stuff, and if the way you interact with your different squad mates, if they actually like you, they will actually follow your commands, and if they don't, they will just ignore you. So something like that. I mean, I don't think I don't know if Call of Duty will go that far with it, because again, it's still going to be a very kind of tightly designed thing, just with a little more openness to it.
Yeah.
But again, I think Binary Domain is a good example of how kind of decisions affect not just the story but the gameplay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've talked that out as much as we're going to. So. Yeah.
More great choices. Walking Dead did fantastically. let's see.
But yeah, so we will be no more weird schedule breaks for us. We will see you in 2 weeks with another episode of the Snack Bar Games Podcast. For Sean, Jeff, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.